The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, so tonight I am going to talk about something that we hear a lot about. And it is called identity theft. We continually hear of people's personal emails, their personal bank accounts being hacked into, even big corporations, banks, even government, yeah, on the national level. We're hearing all the time of people being hacked. And we are constantly being warned on how to protect ourselves from hackers and scammers and intruders. I read an article on this subject by CBS News that came out in March of 2017. The caption read, "New hacks, new defenses, latest tips to protect against data breaches." Protecting yourself from hackers and data breaches requires constant vigilance. The reality is this: cyber criminals are constantly testing new ways to beat the system, requiring new defenses and evolving tactics to stay out of harm's way. Okay, so with online security breaches more common than ever, here's what you should do to protect yourself in 2017. Number one, don't expect the government to protect you. Number two, beware of imposters on the phone. Number three, know what attacks look like. And then number four, password security is important. In other words, you're not supposed to use the same password for all of your accounts, even though it's convenient. And you're not supposed to have something that's easy. It's got to be a little bit confusing. And we're going to come back to the password at the end. Okay, so the reason we're constantly told to be on the alert is because we are constantly threatened by those who want to steal our important information that reveal what we have, what we own, and who we are. Hackers and scammers are finding more sophisticated and effective ways to attack and steal your identity. Novels have been written and later movies made on this subject of identity theft. Now, for those of you who are closer to my age, you will remember this movie called The Net. Sandra Bullock starred in it. It was a 1995 thriller about how her identity was stolen. She was a computer programmer, and so the whole movie is about how she cannot convince people who she really is because her mother has Alzheimer's. It's a great movie on this subject. And then more recently, in 2002, we all loved The Bourne Identity. Jason Bourne fans, yeah. So remember that? You know, that he suffers from amnesia, and the whole movie is about how he's trying to find out who he is based on a few numbers that he has. And then the government, and people in the government, I should say, are trying to eliminate him altogether. These movies that have come out kind of give us an idea of what's going on in our world. But unfortunately, you guys, these are not just fictional stories that are coming out of Hollywood. You and I know real stories of real people in our lives, and maybe one of us who has been scammed or hacked. And I'm not going to share all the stories that I have, but I'm just going to share a real recent one. Because the thing about scammers and hackers is that one of their means of entry or how they're being able to scam people is they go for the heart. They prey on people who are vulnerable. I'm going to give you an example. I have some relatives here in town, and they are 97 and 95. She broke her foot, and they were going to need to replace her shower so that she could get her wheelchair into the shower. So I guess he's checking some companies or whatever, finds a company that seems reputable. I'm not sure how he knew that. But anyway, so he calls them, and it's going to cost $12,000 to put in this new shower. They wanted him to make a payment of $6,000. And then they would come, and they would fix it and put the shower in, and he could pay the rest of it. He writes out a check to this company, gives them the $6,000, and never hears from them again. And it absolutely broke my heart. And then he felt so bad because he goes, I should have known. I should have seen it, but I didn't. And so I want to throw in a little thing here about that and how important this is and how important that we are watching out for one another. They have two sons, and they live in other parts of the country. So there's nobody really right here that's watching out for them that maybe could have protected, you know, helped protect them from making that decision. That's why community is important. That's why being part of community is important, because we need to watch out for one another. We need to say, hey, don't go there. Don't make that decision because of what the results could be. I'm here to help you. I'm here to walk beside you. I'm here to encourage you. Community is important. And if you are here tonight and you don't think you need anybody, you are mistaken and you are deceived. Because not only do you need other people, we need you. And so community is really, really important. Okay, so back to these scammers, going for the heart. Now, if you've ever been scammed on the phone, or your email or your Facebook page has been hacked into, or you've been robbed, how do you feel? Violated. How else do you feel? Victimized, right? And violated, like you said. And you just feel very vulnerable. Dave and I have experienced being robbed. And it's just an awful feeling. So you realize at that moment that you've been exposed. Now they know about you. They know your name, and they have your personal information. It's out there. And that is a very scary feeling and a very fearful feeling. So as a result, we feel unprotected, which creates anxiety, insecurity, and fear, and rightfully so. We can also go into shock, depending on the severity of the situation, because have you ever said, I cannot believe somebody would do that. I cannot believe that they would take advantage of someone that elderly. You just can't believe that people are capable of doing some of the things they do. And then the other thing that you do is you start beating yourself up because you start feeling really guilty that you didn't see it, that you didn't catch it. And because of that scam, it has impacted your family. It's not just you. Would you guys agree that we are all susceptible to identity theft? We have an enemy who hates us and wants us to be in the dark about who we are in Christ. He hopes we never learn how to protect ourselves from his scams. I call Satan the ultimate hacker. He works overtime to deceive and confuse us and steal from us the truth of our true identity. And it seems like I talk about this subject a lot, and maybe it's because I still struggle with it and it still hasn't been totally fleshed out in my own life. You know, I'm in process with it. Satan also hopes that you and I suffer from spiritual amnesia. Now, tonight, I don't know if you walked in forgetting who you were or forgetting who you belong to. I don't know if you've had amnesia all week or all month or all year. But that's what he wants. He wants us to be asleep. What does the Bible tell us all the time? Be on the alert. Be watchful. be mindful. Always. We need to always be on guard. Satan knows that if we fully understand and realize who we belong to and who we are, he is powerless to catch us off guard because he knows we've put in place the safeguard and he won't be able to hack into our hearts and minds and take from us what is rightfully ours. You have also no doubt heard and read stories of mistaken identities. You may have read about the story. I don't know what year it was, but it was about a young girl named Abby who was 19 years old, college sophomore. She's returning home with some of her friends on spring break when their SUV experiences a blowout and it turns into a fatal accident. Two of the girls were ejected from the car and died on the scene, and Abby was identified as one of them. So as word reached their families, back in Arizona where they were from, two girls dead, three critically injured. Typical parental worry over a college road trip turned into unspeakable grief. Abby's parents spent the next few days combing through the shock and horror, planning the details of their daughter's funeral, while three other sets of parents prayed for their own children's recovery. But on Saturday, 6 days after the accident, hospital officials informed two of the families that there had been a horrible mistake. Two of the girls who bore a striking resemblance had been misidentified. Parents who'd been sitting by the bedside of a young woman who they thought was their, who believed that was their daughter, were told the news. She wasn't their daughter at all. Their daughter had actually died in the accident, and Abby's parents were given the news that they could never have imagined, that Abby was not dead, but she was alive. And so there was rejoicing on this one hand, and there was total devastation on the other. It was a case of mistaken identity. And it's important for us to know that the enemy wants you to suffer from mistaken identity. He does not want you and I to know who we really are. Okay? The value of our identity is based on who we belong to. An example of that is that there's a big difference between an employee for an employer of a company versus being a son or a daughter of an employer. As an employee, if you produce well, you're in. If you don't, you're out. You are compensated based on your contribution. It's a contractual agreement. However, when you are a son or a daughter of that employer, you are family, and your value is not determined on your performance. Your worth as a child is inherent. If we don't understand who we are in Jesus, what can easily happen is that who we are is defined by how well we perform, how much we do, as a spouse, as a parent, as an employee, our vocation, our ministry. And let me throw in another scam that I really feel a lot of people fall into, myself included, when it comes to our worth, and that is our appearance. Americans spend millions and millions of dollars on cosmetic surgeries and Botox and creams and all kinds of stuff to make them look younger or better, right? And another thing that I think plays into this too is age. We feel like we're either too old or we're too young. Somehow, some way, we're going to miss it because of our age. We end up forming our identity based on false misconceptions. So where do these come from? Okay, the enemy. Okay, our culture, right? Our society, right? So it could also be how we were raised, what we were taught, what we lived in. And it's sad to say, but it can also, a false misconception can also come from the church. When it is man's preferred ideals over biblical truth. You know, whatever man decides is is true or right versus and not really coming from the biblical perspective. So we can have false misconceptions that way. And some of you have been in the church, raised in the church forever. You can even think of some of those, right, that you no longer believe. Okay, and here's a side note. Today, more than ever, our young people are faced with misconceptions regarding gender identity. The messages that they receive from our culture leaves them confused and floundering and disconnected from not knowing who they are as God's creation. So mistaken identity is happening everywhere. And some of us are even suffering from it in this room because we've believed things about ourselves that are not true. Okay, so mistaken identity also plays out in our relationship with God. And it can be based on how well we perform, what we do, how much we do, will determine his degree of love for us. For many of us, our busyness is synonymous with our significance. We live in a very noisy world with lots of voices out there screaming at us of how we should look, what we need to achieve, what we need to do, how we need to improve ourselves, how we need to prove ourselves to be important. We live with the illusion that if we work harder and longer, we have more value. But our Father has a different message for us. And he says, you are my child. Abide in me. Rest in me. You don't have to prove anything. I love you simply because you are mine. Period. Put a period there. You are not my employee, and you are not my stepchild. Because we've heard that phrase. He has no stepchildren, right? You are not my stepchild. You are my son, and you are my daughter. There's a girl up at church, up at Parachute, and she told us about this bumper sticker, and I absolutely loved it. I've got to get it, and I've got to get you all one. But this is what it says. It says, God loves you, but I'm his favorite. You are all his favorites. Every single one of you are his favorites. Now, in the book called Replenishing, it's a book for leaders on how to lead from a healthy soul. The author is Lance Witt. He attributes a chapter regarding identity theft with the concept of our relationship with the Father. And he makes reference to Jesus' baptism in Mark 1:11. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The very first thing that the Father did was to declare Jesus' position by calling him my son. He was letting everyone know that Jesus' relationship to him was that of a son. And this declaration was not about where Jesus was going or even what he was going to do. This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He hadn't done anything yet. He hadn't raised the dead. He hadn't preached. He hadn't cast out demons. He hadn't healed anyone. He hadn't done anything. He hadn't even begun yet. And this is what the Father established. He is my son, in whom I am well pleased. That is true of every single one of you. You are his son, and you are his daughter, in whom he is well pleased. He's declared it. He has said it. Do you believe that? Lance goes on to say in this chapter, and I quote, "Even though Jesus was fully God in his humanity, I think he needed to hear the blessing and affirmation of his Father. That blessing of sonship became an anchor for his life. He would never play to the people to validate his significance. He would never try to draw a crowd to boost his ego. The anchor of blessedness allowed him to withstand the criticism of the Pharisees and not be swayed by the flattery of the multitudes. The question is for us, can we learn to tune out the fickle voices and dismantle the lies of the enemy that for so long have dominated your life and mine? Can we only listen to the voice of our Father who declares us his child, his son, his daughter, and then live abundantly in the inheritance that we have been given? Paul tells us in Romans 8:17, if you are children, then you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And the Message says it this way in Galatians 4:7. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you are a child, you are also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. I love that song. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. That is the truth. When we live our lives based on our relationship to Him, it frees us from insecurity, comparing ourselves with others, relieves us from striving for perfectionism or whatever makes us feel valued and significant or even loved. When our identity is in Christ and not wrapped up in our ability to achieve or succeed, it keeps us from needing the attention of the limelight. And we can then encourage others in their own growth and success. Now, I have done a small group study on the armor of God, done by Priscilla Shire. The one that impacted me the most was the helmet of salvation. And I'm going to just read a few statements from that study regarding the helmet. Salvation is not just about redemption. It is also a defensive, protective device. Guarding your head gives a sense of safety. The enemy is after your mind. This is where identity theft happens. What the brain is to the body, the mind is to the soul. Salvation is about your identity. It's who you are in Christ. It's more than you and I just being forgiven for our sins and having eternal life, which is huge. It's all that Christ is, has been given to you and me. We get it all. Everything. Everything that comes with Him, it's been given to you and me. But the problem is, we don't access it. So when we put on salvation, we are given the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We now, as followers of Christ, believers in Christ, being children of God, having His Holy Spirit, we now think differently than we used to. Our decisions are based on God's truth, and we do not succumb to the lies of the enemy. We don't get scammed because our minds are protected. But let me ask you this question. If you have been a child of God for a long period of time, have you been scammed by the enemy in the last year? Maybe the last month, maybe the last week. He is relentless in what He does. But we need to be just as relentless about what we do to protect our minds and our hearts from His encroachment. We've already established that because we are His sons and daughters, everything that belongs to Christ belongs to us. And even though it's been provided, again, we must determine if we're going to put it on and if we're going to apply it to our lives or not. Dave and I love to ride our Harley. And for me, being on the back, I don't have to think about driving. I can just think and just, you know, it's a really great worship time for me. But I love the wind just blowing in my face and blowing through my hair and that sunshine. And it's just this wonderful feeling. And it's just there's this connection with my Creator when I'm riding on the back of that Harley. And it's great. I do have a helmet. I make the choice to put it on or not. And I have this love-hate relationship with my helmet. I hate it because it's restrictive. And it's not comfortable. And it makes my head itch. And I would much prefer to ride without it, which many times I do. But then there have been days when we have started out riding, and it's beautiful. Sunshine, warm. And then all of a sudden, clouds come. Rain comes. Then hail comes. And if you have ever been on a motorcycle going 65 miles an hour or faster, and you have nothing to protect you, you are just like ping, 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 ping. And it is miserable. We have been given the helmet of salvation to put on our heads to protect us from the enemy and all of the things that he would bring against us. And you and I will not feel the pain or the sting of the lies and the attacks of the enemy if we put on our helmet of salvation and keep it in place. So choosing not to wear my helmet leaves me vulnerable and it leaves me unprotected. But I need to sometimes be much wiser and put it on and wear it, so that I can be protected and so that I'm not vulnerable to the elements that are happening around me. And it is the same thing, like I said, with the helmet of salvation. If someone has incurred brain damage, no matter if the rest of their body is healthy, their body will still be unable to function. And if you and I are not receiving healthy messages from our brain, our souls and our hearts will not be healthy either. And if our thoughts are toxic, so will our emotions and our actions be. Last night, a few of us got to go hear in person Caroline Leaf. She's a Christian neuroscientist, and she's been in the field for about 30-some years, written many books. One is called Switch On Your Brain, several others. She's an amazing person to listen to and talking to us about the brain and how the brain functions. We are an amazing creation. God is an amazing designer. And when you just study any part of the human body, you are just blown away by how wonderfully and fearfully we have been made. I'm just going to share a couple things that she said. We are responsible for what we focus on. We choose what we will think. And what she was trying to tell us is how much power that we have in regards to the power of our mind, and that we choose what we are going to think. She also made this statement, we are not a victim of our biology. We are a victor over our biology. And my words are a little bit different, but I'd shared this with someone a couple weeks ago. You and I may have been a time in our life been victimized, but we do not have to remain a victim. We are a victor because of who we belong to and what we choose to believe as truth. And if you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear that. You are not a victim tonight. You are a victor because of who you belong to. Back to our Armor of God study. There was a chart in there of Satan's most common attacks against our minds. He has a strategy. Just like scammers and hackers have a strategy. He has a strategy and he convinces us of these negative I ams about who we really are. I am unworthy. I am unloved. I am incapable. I am undesirable. I am insignificant, or my life is insignificant. I am a mistake. I am unforgivable. And you possibly can think of some other I am lies that you have believed. How about I am all alone? So I want you to just think for a minute if there are some I am lies that you've believed. I started out talking about how the enemy wants to steal our identity and to keep us in the dark about our true identity. This is how he does it. He looks to see how he can disable us. He knows if we have not put on or put in place the necessary protection needed to guard our minds against his lies, then he succeeds in getting a stronghold in your life. He ever lives to accomplish this mission. How we keep the enemy from hacking us with his lies is by placing truth, the truth bricks, scripture of who God says we are, and that builds a fortress around our minds and hearts. We defeat the enemy and live in victory over him because we know the truth, we speak the truth, and we live the truth of who we are. You are his son and his daughter. He is your father, and he has given you everything. He's provided you with all you need to keep you safe and secure. He is your security system. Your password is Jesus. That's your password. Because when you use that password, Jesus, it gives you full access to the Father. And the hacker and the scammer can't break through that name. He can't hack into our minds or scam us. Because when he tries, these words come up. No access. He cannot access you at all if you have what he has given you in place. It is our responsibility to put into place what he's given us. You have to pay for internet security, don't you? You have to pay for all the different types of security that you need to protect yourself. But you and I did not have to pay for our security system. Our salvation, our protection against identity theft has already been paid. The cross was the payment. We didn't have to pay anything. All we have to do is access it. You are in Christ, and your identity is found in him and him alone. And if you are finding your identity in a person or what you do or what you have or anything else, you are always going to live less than what God has purposed for you. God wants every single one of us to know who we are in him. Your true identity is in Christ. Don't let the enemy steal from you anymore. Don't be a victim of identity theft.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like